Tim Watson, welcome to you on the day after a very, very big day.
Good morning, Gary Lyon. Good morning, everybody. This morning, I hope that you're all okay and safe. Did the wind blow last night? Goodness me. I thought the roof was going to come off our house last night.
Windy.
Well, wherever you are, let's do hope that you are in, well, inside, first and foremost. You wouldn't want to be out in this weather, and you're safe and well. You're down your way, apparently. Just arcs are being built everywhere.
Yeah, but the rain didn't, I don't know whether it came overnight or not, but it didn't arrive yesterday during the day. But I saw Jane on the news last night. She was saying that there was going to be between like 100 and 200 mil of rain there last night and today.
Down in Gippsland.
Down in Gippsland where we are. That's a lot of rain. That is a hell of a lot of rain. But anyway, let us know how you're going this morning, whether or not everything's intact for you, whether or not you had some trees blow over in the backyard or whatever. What sort of a night it was for everybody out there, because it was one of the wild, wild, windy nights that we've seen in recent times.
Let us be the conduit. Also, Duna's saying that there's lots of debris on the road, so if there are issues out there from a traffic point of view, then we love to communicate them and let people know if there's going to be a bit of a hold-up sometime this morning. This is the ramble normally, Wispy, but this is probably one day where we can ramble, but we might have to ramble about the issue of the day, and that is, of course, Nathan Buckley and the Collingwood Footy Club as of next Monday at probably around 6 o'clock will no longer be tied at the hip, which they have been for the best part of almost 30 years.
Extraordinary. 27 years he'd been at the club, I think I heard him say yesterday. The Herald Sun, Gary, just to further emphasise how big this story was yesterday to them, they've devoted 18 pages, 18 full pages of their paper today to the coverage of the departure of Nathan Buckley and the history of Nathan Buckley. 18 pages.
What?
I've just counted them. 18. 18 well, pages, including some really, really nice articles about Nathan and historically what he's meant to the Collingwood Football Club. Mick Boldhouse has written an article. Obviously, there's a lot of editorialising. There's a lot of pictures in there as well. Were you surprised? Were you shocked when you heard the news yesterday?
Yeah, 100%. I didn't see that coming at all. I know that there's some revisionist work being done at the moment suggesting that, well, yeah, no, the writing was on the wall. He was on AFL 360 Monday night. And, you know, you then go back and forensically look at some of the stuff he said. But, no, I got a big shock, like I think everyone did in the footy world. So, first and foremost, congratulations, I would say. Congratulations. To handle himself and last as long as he has in this cutthroat industry is an unbelievable performance, and hasn't exactly got out on his terms. I don't think there's any doubt that the club have said probably time for us all to part, and that's okay. That's what happens, but he's his own man. He was fantastic. I watched the press conference yesterday. Spoke brilliantly, as he always does, and whatever he chooses to do in the future, he'll make a great fist of it.
As a coach, how do you think you'll remember him?
As a very good coach, and ultimately not a great one. And that's really harsh because that's the judgment based on a premiership or not. Very, very good, though. I mean, I do subscribe to that to some degree, but he did everything. But he rejigged that group. I mean, coaching the Collingwood Footy Clubs would be one of the toughest sporting jobs going around because of the scrutiny. He handled himself. I love the way he handles himself as much as anything else. And I think towards the end, I don't think he coached particularly well over the past, certainly not through this year, but that may be through circumstances that we're not aware of and may come out in time. But that's okay. 10 years, God help me. Hat off.
That's a long time. It's a long, long time.
Took over in difficult circumstances too.
Well, you say difficult circumstances. The handover didn't go that smoothly.
Well, not
is that what you meant?
Yeah,
he actually had a good team to take over, but the actual handover didn't go that smoothly.
100%. He took over a very good list, but to have a figure such as Mick Malthouse stay on and be put in place as the director of coaching, that would have been a challenge. That didn't work out. We know that for whatever reason.
But he's a great bloke. He's a great bloke. You and I both know him.
He's a ripper.
You know, at times we've criticised the way that his team plays and the way that he's wanted them to play, but that hasn't been a personal criticism of him, even though when you are in that position, you do take it personally. But he has been probably one of the best media performers, I think, in terms of being able to sit down there and articulate and talk about sometimes really complex and difficult topics. The only time I thought that he was left wanting in this whole time that he was coaching was in this last off-season with that drama and the debacle around their salary cap and having to let go of players type of thing. That was the only time I've ever thought, gee, you're not as impressive as you've normally been, and under those circumstances. And you look at that now and the fallout from that period of time, right? Jeff Walsh, Ned Guy, Eddie Maguire and Nathan Buckley. They've all gone in this last 6 to 8 months after all that occurred. And it can't just be a coincidence. It can't just be a coincidence.
No, and maybe in the fullness of time we'll find out some more detail around that, why it was so difficult for him and for Ned Guy to get up in front of the media and try and sell something that you just couldn't sell. And if they had their time again, maybe they'd do it a little differently. But apart from that, you're right, he's handled himself impeccably. So, and there's always, I mean, he was a polarising figure as a player because A, he was at Collingwood, and B, he was so good, and C, he was so single-minded in his pursuit of excellence that, and lying to Eddie, there was all that, you know, the footy show got great joy out of the relationship between the two of them. So that helped some people make their minds up about him when they wouldn't know anything about Nathan. He is an outstanding man. And, he won't be lost. He's not going to be lost to anything. He'll do whatever he wants next year.
Yeah, well, already there's discussions going on about whether or not he'll be at Channel 7 or whether or not he'll be at AW or wherever he may end up. I'm sure he'll get some offers from the media. Maybe it's not a great time. I thought that he might, you know, travel or whatever, but he's got two boys there at school. You can't travel much anyway if he wanted to go overseas because he's got a great curiosity about him. He's one of those people that likes to learn and he likes to do things. This is the other separation. You know, like, footy fans, and I think we too, because we talk about coaches, about their coaching and that type of thing, we often don't pause to think that they're just human beings, and sometimes they're just, not just, but they're fathers too. You know, they're going through all the same things that you and I as fathers have gone through, and, you know, the emotion that's associated with that, with whatever our children might be doing. He's gone through a relationship breakdown as well while he's coaching. He was in the hub last year. Like, all those things weigh heavily on somebody personally too. And, you know, the emotional toll is significant on people, considering they've got this high-pressure job over here where they're being scrutinised by the general public and trying to coach a football team to win. And then they're still dealing with all the other things that the rest of us deal with as well.
Yeah, all that would be... You know that better than me, obviously. You've done it and I don't think, unless you sat in that seat as the seat of an AFL coach, would you have a great appreciation and understanding of what you're talking about? And there will be people out there, and they would go, oh, turn it up. You're getting paid huge money. You know, you're coaching a footy team, a sports team. How can it be that hard? Well, I know, having spoken to you and others, that it obviously is, and there's not a second of respite. There's just...
nothing.
I think that would be the thing, and that, and not even insert myself into it, but on the times where I thought about going down that path, it was that I can't imagine... You become so obsessive with what you're doing, and you'd never be able to leave the job, and that part of it always scared the shizen out of me. Absolutely, I'd go nuts, I think.
One day, I went to a press conference when I was working at Channel 7 and doing sort of going out on the job and doing stories and stuff like that. And we went to Victoria Park, and Tony Shaw was the coach of Collingwood. And I remember him looking at me, and he was under the pump. This was before he may have even announced the fact that his end as the, or reign as the Collingwood coach was coming to an end. Yep. And he looked at me, and I've known Tony well over the years, and he said, mate, don't ever do this.
I know.
And that's before I went coaching. And I only recalled that when I went coaching myself, and I really understood what it was that he was saying.
Do you know what? There's like Chris Scott says that now. He said, oh, if I had to give advice to my brother, Brad, about whether to do it, I'd say no, don't do it. So there's some cautionary tales. You tell me this, and this is what I'll be, as a player, I can relate only as a player. The day I announced that I was retiring as a player on the, it was a Wednesday or Tuesday night, middle of the year, made a decision. Neil Denhead came around, we made a decision. The weight and relief that was lifted off your shoulders was tangible. Like your life changed in that second, because every sort of second of your, every year, every day of your year was mapped out around your football routine.
Right.
Which is, so for you, from a coaching point of view, when you made that decision, what sort of feeling did you get on the basis of what we've been talking about in terms of the can't leave the job and the relentless pressure and scrutiny and everything else?
Well, it is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And
that's what I mean.
When you think about, you know, like as a parent, say we've got four children, and you think about your own children and you think about what they're doing and, you know, parenting, that type of thing. And then you extend that into, okay, now I've got another, say, 45 young men whose livelihoods and lives and aspirations I'm responsible for as well.
Yeah,
relationship building as well. And then there's the staff, and then there's all the other people associated with you. It's not hard to be overwhelmed by that position.
No.
And I was. No. I was completely overwhelmed. I didn't have the experience to be able to do it. But Nathan, you know, even he had the experience. He had sort of like a really good lead up to it, a couple of years as an assistant, knew what he was getting into, loved the idea of getting involved. And he gave it, as you would expect him to do, he left no stone unturned in his pursuit of excellence. And he's hard on himself. He was hard on himself as a football player, and he would have been exactly the same as a coach. But I reckon over that period of time, he changed as well. I think he really understood. I don't know that he really completely and utterly understood what the role was all about in terms of the man management, the microscopic man management, that the detail of building relationships was all about. But I reckon he really got that after the first couple of years as a coach.
Yeah, and yeah, he looked to evolve in the role. He looked to develop an empathy for the group and the softer side and the more
the vulnerabilities that are associated with it as well.
Delegate more. Don't be, you know, you don't have to have your fingerprints all over it. So, to that end, if he ever wanted to coach again, what he'd be perfect. He has had 10 fantastic years. Work out what works for him and what doesn't, and he'd be an outstanding candidate. Now, whether he does or not remains to be seen. Hey, we'll keep talking. Doesn't matter how, like, all the criticism of the way the Bucks, the sides played, and all, it's gone.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Wipe the slate, and we remember the good, and that's probably a good thing.
Maximise your end of financial year savings with exceptional tax time purchasing opportunities from Mercedes-Benz Ferry. Here's four-time Premiership Hawk, Jordan Lewis.
Lewis from 40, low, hard
goal. Great to have Geordie with us in the studio here. Missed him last week, actually. Must have had a better offer, but nice to see you, Geordie.
I don't know about better offer. Stuck at home with four kids. Oh, I couldn't wait to get out of the house this morning. I actually went to the supermarket and walked around for an hour yesterday just to see other people. I got a few things, so it was all legal. But
you got four kids.
It's nice to be out.
You got four kids.
Three and one on the way.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you are a busy man.
Yes. It's nice to be out. Oh, gee, it was hard to get up this morning.
No wonder you... Oh. I tell you what, just to give everybody an insight, that Geordie, he's been sitting outside waiting to come on our show since 6 o'clock this morning.
Don't give away my secrets. It's funny. Well, the boys and girls that come into Fox, actually, it's quite funny. We sit on the couch and watch three games on a Saturday in there, and we don't necessarily have to be there that early, but we all swan in a bit earlier and enjoy the peace and quiet.
I've noticed that of all those boys in there, Nick Revolt can get in there at 2 o'clock
for 8:30.
At 8:30 on the couch. Hey, surprise yesterday when you heard the news about Bucks.
I was. I think looking back over the past couple of weeks, for me it was inevitably going to happen. I suppose, because there'd been so much change within this football club, and probably the last one, unfortunately, that had to be the circuit breaker was Nathan Buckley. But I just didn't think it would happen this quickly. With all the stuff that had come out, the way that Graham Wright had been interviewed, the way that Nathan Buckley had been interviewed, and I know it was to sort of keep the press at bay, but then they just went cut. And then it was done and dusted. So that was a surprise how quickly it happened.
Is that the right thing to do?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Unfortunately, you know, that group probably needed a fresh voice and a fresh face around the footy club. He's a big personality. He's been there for a huge amount of his life. And the amount of change that had happened off the field, I think it also had to happen on field. And it either had to be, I think I said on this program, it either had to be maybe Nathan Buckley, or if they wanted to rejuvenate the coaching staff, so the assistant coaches under him, because the game plan that we saw on a week-to-week basis wasn't getting it done.
You know, the influence, this is, I've spoken to Collingwood people around this issue about the way they play, and I had a conversation, somebody told me about the influence that Longmuir had when he was at Collingwood, and there was a certain way that he was connecting with the players and the game plan, that type of thing. In your time at football in Hull, have you seen that, where a line coach has had that sort of influence potentially over the group and the way they play? And when they go, there's a huge change in the way the game's constructed?
Yep. So Hawthorn, before Luke Beveridge got to Hawthorn, it was old school defence, I would say. You'd go back shoulder, you'd try and defend your man. You wouldn't necessarily come off and defend someone else. When Luke Beveridge got there, he changed the way we defended by being assertive. And now you see a lot of the sides out there, probably except for Carlton, now they defend assertive. So in front, and what they would used to say is, we defend like 1.5 men. So if we're defending our man, you've got to be able to reference another contest. So you've got to be able to come over and impact in the air. And Luke Beveridge completely changed that. The ball movement stuff from Hawthorn probably came from Clark Owen and David Rath. And we would always, going through those years, we would always have options. So when I watch football right now and I see sides continuously going back to the same option, and I saw that with Collingwood. I did Collingwood versus Geelong, and you can see as soon as they mark the ball, they look boundary. So for me, that's been coached to be quite safe. So you get your defence set up. What, you know, the good sides would have different modes in which they would attack. So, you know, hopefully with the new coach coming in to Collingwood, that would be the case.
Has he got enough time, Rob Harvey, then, to put his stamp and imprimatur on this group of players and change the way they play, if he in fact thinks that they need to change?
Well, that's the interesting part. So you go from an assistant coach to now being in charge, and how much do we see visually that changes that might give you a bit of an insight in terms of the struggle that the assistant coaches had with Nathan Buckley on a week-to-week basis, trying to play different ways. So you would hope to see a change, Tim, because probably the last three games that I've watched Collingwood play have been probably the hardest three games of football I've watched. So I feel for the supporters because as a supporter, I think you want to see your side go out there and defend really well. I get that. But attack and be quite creative and show some flair. We just haven't seen that.
You've had a long time with Sam Mitchell. Shane Crawford yesterday came out really strong in his support of Sam. Do you know where he's at with it all? Does he think he's ready? Do you think he's ready? Where do you see Sam Mitchell?
Yeah, so, I mean, I can only clearly comment on the guys that I've been involved with. And for me, if they were to come to me and asked us, would you say Sam Mitchell is ready to coach? I would say yes. That would be my answer. I think he's at that stage now where he had an unbelievable playing career. He was like a coach during his playing days. He then goes over to West Coast. They make a grand final. He's influential in that happening, and then comes back and coaches under Alastair Clarkson. And now he's gone and coached his own side. So I think that's a box you need to tick. I think when we saw Alastair Clarkson, Hardwick, Adam Simpson start their coaching careers, they were all around the 37 to 38 years of age. So what that primarily does is allows you to grow with the group. So when you get young kids, you can relate to these young kids, you can help them through, you can coach them. And the biggest thing I think with this Collingwood appointment, it won't be smooth sailing. So the most important thing I think in this next 5 to 10 years is board stability. If you don't have that, it doesn't matter who goes in as coach, whether it be Ross Lyon, whether it be Sam Mitchell, whether it be someone else. If stability from a board level point of view isn't there, it's hard to see this coach make it through this period.
What would hold him back? Sorry, what would be the one thing? And you're saying he's ready to coach, which is a great endorsement. But what would be the one thing that he may have to be acutely aware of getting right?
I think the knock on Sam throughout his career would have been the way he's dealt with people, so his personal skills. Right. But from what I hear, his time at Box Hill, he's been unbelievable with the young kids and the players coming back. And sometimes you go from a player and you are very much single-focused. What can I do? How can I get myself better? How can I help the team win? To a coaching environment where it's not about you anymore. So I think he's made that transition quite well. The only question mark would be he's never coached before. So you always go into that with some trepidation about, wow, can he do it? But sometimes if you take a risk, you get handsomely rewarded on the other side.
Who else would you consider?
I've been a big advocate of Adam Uze. I've seen him at Hawthorn, and I've seen what he's done at Melbourne. And I think he's just got that balance right about high footy IQ, but also the ability to create relationships. And I speak to the Melbourne players now, and they just can't believe how good he is. And that's their opinion, and yeah. I totally agree with them. The other one I'm hearing a little bit is Gian Siracusa, who you might know as a defensive coach at Essendon. He's had a big say in how they've bounced back and defended.
Yeah, I don't know too much about him personally as a coach, and I haven't really had conversations about him. Gary threw the idea, and you're the most recent of us three that's come out of the game, the idea of having a managerial type coach, somebody who just deals in the relationships of the players and sits above, you know, the coaching staff, and not the traditional type of coach. And then obviously you've got the strategists and all that type, line coaches below that. Do you see that as a system that can work with the modern day player?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think if I look back on my career at Hawthorn, that was certainly the way that Alistair Clarkson had gone, because we'd been there for 10 years and heard the same voice. He understood that he had to step back and let other people take the reins. And all our pre-seasons would be done by assistant coaches. All the meetings would be done by assistant coaches, except for the main meeting before the game would be done by Alistair Clarkson. And on game day, it would be done by Alistair Clarkson. But a lot of the other stuff was done by assistant coaches. So,
did you ever feel that it wasn't Clarko's team then?
No, never.
So how did he manage that?
Well, I think it's we saw that he was delegating, because I think if he didn't go along that path, that we would get absolutely sick of the same message from the same person. So I can see some credibility with the new coach being appointed, if that is a senior coach like Ross Lyon, to have someone who potentially could take over in 5 years underneath him, really learning how to go about it. And that could be a Sam Mitchell, a Gian Siracusa. I think Adam Uze is ready to coach himself, so I don't think it would work for him, but certainly the other ones.
Interesting stuff from Jordan Lewis here. The Carlton, we just talked about Carlton and how they would have been and continue to be the talking point since their mid-season review. It's been just shunted back a little bit, not going away, obviously. Justin Lepich spoke about players going behind backs. Now, I'm not suggesting this is what's been going on at Carlton, but historically that can happen. That's when you know that your footy club's in massive trouble and you've got a problem with the group, is when there's backstabbing and little cliques forming and, you know, those sorts of things. How best to deal with that if you're in a Carlton situation? And again, I'm not saying that's happening, but you've got senior players that are now, they'll be challenged for their spot. How best to deal with that for David Teague?
It's a difficult one, because I think in that instance, if you approach the players who are talking behind your back, they're not going to be upfront with you. They're just going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. So in that instance, you're reliant on the leadership group. And why the leadership group is important and the way you select a leadership group is you need people in every little part of the club. So you need some youth, you need some players with experience, you need some players who might not necessarily be the best player on the team, but they've got great relationships with everyone. So that's where you've got to go to and ask the leadership group, is this what you're hearing? How can we go about rectifying that? Because it's the worst thing that could creep into a footy club. If you've got players that are talking behind other players' backs or talking behind the coaching staff's backs, then performance is the first thing that gets hit. And that's the unfortunate part. When you're struggling for form yourself as a team, if you've got that happening within your club, it's not a good thing.
Were you ever confronted with that situation at Hawthorn? Was there ever a time where your views about Al Clarkson were considered by board members or...
No, there wasn't. We it's quite boring to... We had quite a smooth sailing...
Well, you're being successful.
Teams,
that's why,
yeah, yeah. But there was certainly times in maybe 2009, 2010 where we never questioned Alistair Clarkson the way he could coach. It was probably the board and the supporters and wondering why we'd been successful and then sort of gone down this other path. We were really only questioned internally about the way that we led and the things that we would say, but not necessarily do on field. So we would demand a lot of others, but yet we weren't holding up our end of the bargain. And that came to a head in a pre-season camp meeting.
Might be the reason why they were so good too, the Hawks. They didn't have those issues. So Jordan Lewis with us on the other side. We did ask him to give us the team with the best centre quartet. I think Tim put that on the agenda at about 9:30 the other day, so we never really got to it. So Geordie will answer that for us. We'll have a look at tonight's game. And Quinton Arkle out of the Geelong side, I'll get his thoughts on that. But first, let's go to Sportsbet. Steve's in Port Arlington. Go, Steve. No, stay there, Steve, because Paul Tuddum has finally answered his phone. Tuddy, where have you been, man?
I had to turn my phone on and off, big man. So I'm here now. So we're all good.
nice to talk to you. We appreciate it. How did you see the events of yesterday? As the president of the past players, I know you're intimately involved down there. Was it a surprise?
It was a huge surprise, yeah. I'm good mates with the big fella, Ned, and, I thought things were just sort of tracking along nicely. But, I think the club with its current status of, needing to regenerate list and obviously sitting close to the bottom of the ladder, it does make some sort of sense.
Are you supportive of the decision?
I think it's going to be interesting, Tim, to see how it plays. Gaz, to see how it plays out. I think in hindsight we might come to that conclusion, but at the present time, I think we're all a little bit, shocked and to some extent disappointed that the Bucks is gone because we all so much, and he's done an amazing job for our club over a long period of time.
Hey, Paul, do you think that the actual board part of it should have played out at Collingwood before this part played out?
Good question, Timmy. So I think there's still an opportunity for that to happen. I think there's now maybe now's the perfect time, I think, for a bit of regeneration, in the club in its entirety. We've obviously had our president and now the coach leave. And I think to some extent that then presents the ideal opportunity for Jeff Brown to have a sit down with the existing board, and whether that's with Mark Corder or others, I think that now is the right time to do it, because I think it would be a missed opportunity if that didn't happen. And also I think therefore there's an opportunity to, I suppose, plan out the club for the next 3 to 5 years at all levels.
Are you part of the Jeff Brown ticket?
No, I'm not, but I am in discussions with Jeff. I've met with him several times, and I'm entirely supportive of him as the option, or the best option, in the marketplace, so to speak, for Collingwood president moving forward. And I think I talked about opportunity before. I think if you got someone of his calibre, an AFL Life member, someone who's been a Collingwood person all their life, someone who understands football basically incomparably, then you've got to do everything in your power to exhaust that option. That's my view.
And how would you best see that playing out?
Well, I think a lot of the Collingwood people that I've been speaking to basically want that to happen, face-to-face, Tim. I don't think anyone wants to go to an EGM. I know no one really does, to be honest. I just think that we need to get to a point where the members are comfortable with the board and the president, and comfortable that, that they have their mandate. And at the moment, I don't think that that's the case.
What sort of a coach would you like to see at Collingwood next, Paul? Somebody young and without experience, or somebody that's been around the block a few times and has had experience?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm going to say it really does depend on the candidate, Jim. I think throwing a blanket over a coach type is dangerous. There's some good names that are being thrown around at the moment, but you know, they might not suit. You know, I really think until you sit face to face with you know, the options, I think it's hard to make a broad brush response to that. But I'm hoping that we'll take our time. As I said, I think there are some other things to play out first before we, you know, just sort of jump into the deep end. So, you know, and Righty's a mate of mine. We played footy together. I'm comfortable that he's the right person. So let him, get all the names together, and then, as I said, sort the other issues out, and then we'll make an informed decision as a club moving forward.
Would you be disappointed if a coach is appointed before a Jeff Brown-led changeover took place?
I think, again, Gaz, I think that would depend on the circumstances. You know, if a decision had to be made, then, you know, you can't argue with that. But as I said before, I think we need to make an informed decision, and I don't think we need to rush into it. So I think in that context, I would be extremely surprised if we did make an appointment quickly.
Hey, I know you're a very busy man. We appreciate you giving us some time this morning. We really do.
Good man. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Paul.
Paul Tudnam, President of the Collingwood Past Players Association.